Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. There's a war going on. That war is in a place we cannot see. Demonic forces wage a battle against the saints of God on a daily basis, a battle that won't end until eternity. Our job, learn how to use God's weapons that we may share in the ultimate victory. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the invisible war taken from the book of Ephesians. He's beginning in chapter 1, talking about the cosmic conflict as we stand in awe of the blessings that are ours in Christ.
I'm talking now to believers, as Paul is to the saints which are at Ephesus, and he says, first of all, in the heavenly places, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Notice that. What are the blessings? Well, that we were chosen before the foundation of the world in Christ. Jesus called your name before God said, "Let there be light." Before the universe was created, God knew you and chose you. That's what the text tells us. We discover we've been adopted into God's family. We've been blessed in other ways with the Holy Spirit and on and on. And he says we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And we have been blessed. It is a done deal. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you automatically receive about 20 different blessings that I should list for you sometime. And it is yours in Christ. It is finished. It comes with a package called Jesus Christ. What a blessed people we are. You say, well, Pastor, I don't feel very blessed today. Well, feelings are sometimes deceptive, aren't they? And we're blessed with spiritual blessings, not physical blessings. Those will come in the future, but meanwhile we suffer with cancer. My wife yesterday attended a funeral of a young man who died of cancer, left a wife and two small children behind. We don't get all those physical blessings, but every spiritual blessing is yours in Christ. We don't even see the fulfillment of that in its completeness, but it's there already. And I noticed that there was a TV preacher who was delivering his entire congregation from debt. But then he ended the program by asking for money. And I put out my hand and I said, "I won't send you any because I deliver you from all debt, my brother." Wow. No, we don't get all of our physical blessings in this life, but we do get every spiritual blessing is already ours, to be experienced in this life and the next in Christ. You see, so much of our praying is for things that God has given us in Jesus. If only we could meditate on this, it would help us in the conflict that I'm going to introduce you to in a moment. Remember that story of that little boy in Washington saying to a police officer, "Can I buy the Washington Monument?" The police officer says, "Well, how much money do you have?" Kid pulls out his money. You remember when we were kids, when we pulled out our pockets even to reveal the last little bit of lint? Well, that's what he did, and he counted 37 cents. And the police officer said to him, "Two things, young man, you should know. Number one, you can't buy the Washington Monument for 37 cents. And secondly, you should know that if you are an American citizen, you already own it." My friend today, if you're a citizen of heaven, be surprised at what you own. In the heavenlies, you've been blessed. Well, we must hurry on. Secondly, it's a place of great power. Chapter 1, verse 19, you'll notice it says, Paul says that God raised Jesus up, and it is there. Verse 19, "And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in," there's the phrase, "the heavenly places," the ascension of Jesus. Now, some people ridicule the ascension. They say that if you go up from Jerusalem, that's actually down if you're in Australia or New Zealand. So where did Jesus go to? The correct answer to that is, we don't know, and it really doesn't matter. Because it is not a matter of travel. It is a matter of his triumph. It isn't a matter of the miles that he has, but the might with which he was raised in this heavenly realm. His physical body is in the spiritual realm. And we don't know where it is, but he was able to appear to Paul on the way to Damascus, and he has appeared to people on the battlefield. We don't know where that is, because that's a different dimension. But it has everything to do with the absolute authority of Jesus over all things. Does Jesus Christ rule today? Yes. He has delegated rule to his people, and to the people of the world, I should say, but there's a sense in which still nothing happens without his approval, but he is waiting, the Bible says, until every enemy is put under his feet. And isn't he ever patient? He is waiting. When you go to Florence, Italy, and you see all of the art, and you see Michelangelo's David and all of the other wonderful things there in the architecture and the culture of Florence, don't miss the spot, which I could show you, where there is a plaque on the floor where people are walking on the sidewalk, really, that says it is here where Savonarola was burned to death. He was one of the early reformers, and he was preaching the gospel there in Florence and got into deep trouble and then did some foolish things and ultimately was burned. That's a separate story. But I always remember what he said before he died. And when you think of it, I guess he'd have to say it before he died, right, rather than after. I always like to take things slowly. He said these words, "He who believes that Christ rules above need never fear what happens below." Wow. There's a man martyred for the faith. If you believe in the ascension of Jesus above every principality, above every power, showing his absolute total triumph in the heavenlies, in that supernatural realm, that spiritual realm, that's where Jesus is, and that's what happened there. Well, we must hurry on. Third, it is also a place of honor. Now, here's the shock. You say, "Pastor Lutzer, I came to Moody Church to be encouraged today." I'm going to encourage you right now. The Word of God is going to do the encouraging. It says in verse 4 of chapter 2, speaking of us now, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ." I just told you Jesus was there, and now I'm telling you that you were there. That when Jesus ascended, he in effect took us with him, not physically, of course, because there is a great difference between where Jesus is and the city of Chicago, but we are in him, we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. There's a metaphysical connection between us and Jesus that is so strong that we can already say that just as Jesus was raised, so we also have been raised, and you are seated there also above the principalities of powers and every name that is named, because we're sitting there with Jesus. And by the way, Jesus is seated. Old Testament priests never sat down. Why? Because their work was never done. Jesus, the Bible says, when he has finished all things and completed all things, he sat down and says, "It's all been done. I've disarmed all principalities and powers, and I made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." And so we are there with Jesus in heaven. Why would Jesus be that generous? Well, look at the text. It says that he raised us up with him in the heavenly places so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. You know what? This is a huge subject, but let me put this idea into your pure mind today. There are many attributes of God that we would never know about, that would never be on display were it not for the fact that sin entered into the world. It is because of sin that God has been able to demonstrate his mercy, his grace, and all of the attributes of kindness that we would never understand. We'd never see him as a redeeming God. That doesn't justify the sin. It just means that God has the ability to take the worst possible situation and use it to demonstrate his kindness, his grace. But my friend, if you're a believer, positionally, you're already in heaven. Remember the days when I was a Canadian citizen. There was no way then that Canada could keep me out because I was a citizen. Of course, now as an American, they also let me in, by the way. I've been up there many times. We have good, friendly relationship between us and our neighbor to the north. But, you see, one of the reasons that you know that you can enter is that you not only have a passport, but you also have residency there. When you have residency in heaven, when you die, my friend, there's not going to be a hassle at the border. There's not going to be a question of, should we let this person in? No, I'm in Jesus. I'm already there. It's just a matter of transferring the relationship. But in Jesus, you are seated today in heavenly places. And so it is a place of honor. Let me say also, it is a place of drama. We've said it's a place of blessing, a place of power, a place of honor. Now it's a place of great drama. Wow. As I say, I'm glad we don't see the spirit world personally, because we'd be confused by it. But think of what's happening. Look at what the text says. In chapter 3, it says in verse 8, "To me, though I am the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages," that is, that the Jews and Gentiles are one people, "so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places." There's the phrase, and this refers to good angels and evil angels as well. God is demonstrating his wisdom and his might and, as I mentioned, his mercy, and it is on display in the heavenlies. Yes, indeed, it would be quite an experience if we could see into the spirit world and see the conflict that is going on. And I need to remind you that you and I are also involved in that conflict. That's why I've written the book entitled, Who Are You to Judge? Learning to Distinguish Between Truths, Half-Truths, and Lies. We're living in an age of satanic deception. And we see that most clearly in false doctrine, false prophets, false miracles. Those are the kinds of issues I deal with, and for a gift of any amount, this book can be yours. The title, Who Are You to Judge?
Pastor Erwin Lutzer with more on the cosmic conflict, the first in a series of 7 messages on the invisible war. Next time, more on why this war will not be over until Jesus returns. More than ever before, believers need discernment to be able to distinguish between truths, half-truths, and lies. That's the focus of Pastor Lutzer's book, Who Are You to Judge? A copy is waiting for you as our gift when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.